Lord, in the midst of the many voices that clamor for our attention, you speak. It is your voice we need to hear. It is your word that we need to understand. And we cannot do that apart from the work of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives. So fill us with your Spirit this day. Let us hear your word for us, that men and women may see our works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So our reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm going to read verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. So do you enjoy getting new things? Yeah, sometimes, right? Yeah. Sometimes new things come in little boxes. Guys, that always gets our wives excited. They think that's going to be jewelry. Little do they know what we might have dreamed up. I mean, I'm a guy that loves technology. So, you know, something new, a new gadget, a new toy. I mean, that's kind of fun stuff. For the women, it may be a new piece of jewelry, maybe a new piece of clothing, something to pair all of that together. Who knows? But something new. There was a recruit to a monastic order, and this particular order was known for its rather severe lifestyle. Its vow of silence. In fact, you could not speak, except for every 10 years you were allowed two words, and that was it. So the young monk comes to the end of the first 10 years. He goes to his confessor, and the confessor says, "What is it you would like to say?" He's only got two words. He says, "Food, bad." Goes back, another 10 years pass. Time for the next conversation with his confessor, and he comes before the confessor. The confessor says, "What is it you'd like to say?" "Bad, hard." And he goes back. We come to the next 10 years. He goes to the confessor. "What is it you would like to say, brother?" He knew he only had two words. He simply said, "I quit." To which the confessor, the abbot, said, "Well, it's about time. All you've been doing is complaining since you got here." In the 90s, there was a rock group, the Eagles. They're on my playlist. They had a song entitled "Get Over It," and they would repeat that phrase time and again. I suspect that there would some that would have said to the monk, "Listen, get over it. The food's not that bad and the bed's not that hard." Well, this section that we come to, Isaiah, is given to a people who have been in exile. They've been in hard, difficult times. They have been captive They were wrestling with the questions. They'd lost their land. They'd lost their homes. They'd lost their livelihood, their families. To some extent, and in a very real way, they'd lost their God. They'd lost what it meant to worship Yahweh, Jehovah, God. And so part of the question that they were wrestling with was, where is God in all of this? Is God still here for us? Is God still doing a work? What kind of future do we have? God's fidelity, His goodness, His omnipotence, God's very identity was on trial as far as the Jewish people were concerned at this juncture in their history. And it is to that people, in that situation, that God sends the prophet Isaiah. He sends the prophet Isaiah, and by the time we come to chapter 43, the prophet is bringing to the people a word of hope. A word of hope. He is saying, in essence, the day may be bleak. It may be dark outside. You may have written me off, God is saying through the prophet, but I'm about to do a new thing. Hold on. I'm not finished. So how is it that you and I, where we find ourselves in 2019, how is it we get on with it and find the new thing that God is doing? Well, the prophet begins with some rather startling words. He tells the people through the prophet, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. No, I find that remarkable and strange. Here's the way the New Living Translation reads. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves. They drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. There's a play with water in the text. Maybe you caught that. The first reference to water is the water of the sea. The sea that God would part and allow the nation of Israel to go across on dry ground as they left the land of Egypt. The sea that as the armies followed hot on their heels, the waters came back over them, and that's what the prophet is referencing. And they had celebrated that, and they had remembered that, and they had built monuments to recall and remember. And now the prophet is saying to them, forget all of that. So how does that fit? And why is God saying that to His people through the prophet? He did not say that the past was bad. In fact, God will always tell us to remember because there's much good in the past. There was the deliverance from the land of Egypt. There was the Exodus. There was the Davidic kingship. There was the temple worship. So why then is Isaiah telling the people to forget the past? He is not saying to us that memory is unimportant. In fact, we have sayings about that. That if we forget the past, we're doomed to what? To repeat it. There's nothing on a personal level more tragic than loss of that memory corporately or whatever it may be. But I think the prophet is saying this to us, to dwell on the past can sometimes be painful, even destructive, and it can cripple you if you are not careful, because we tend to live in the glory of days gone by, or we live in the pain of days gone by. What God did in the past, what the church was like in the good old days, how our country was different then. And we remember that keenly, don't we? We remember what life was like in this country in the 50s and even the 60s and the 70s. And sometimes we spend all of our time lamenting that what was is now no longer. I think the prophet would say to us, get over it. Get on with it. Don't live in days gone by. Remember, but don't dwell. Instead, it's time to move forward. Isaiah would agree with the Apostle Paul, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God is doing a new thing. He was about to do a new thing for the people of Israel. God continues to do that new thing in us and through us. I've got a news flash for you. God's not finished. God is continuing to do His work through His people. And that means, in the second place, you and I need to be open to a God of change. And oh, we don't always like that word, do we? Especially as Presbyterians. Change? Oh. After all, you don't understand, Pastor. We've always done it. Yeah. Yeah. And yet our God is a God of change and a God of surprise. I think sometimes His middle name is surprise. How many times do we see that throughout Scripture? God was going to do a new thing, and He wasn't going to do it the old way through leaders such as Moses and David. He had new leaders and a new thing that He was going to do in this day and time. And surprise of surprise, the one that the prophet is going to declare is going to do God's work is none other than the Persian king Cyrus. God, you must be kidding. You're going to use that man? Surprise. Fast forward to the New Testament. God, you're going to use Saul? You must be kidding. He has killed the Christians. He's persecuted the church. And God looked and said, surprise. Surprise. Sometimes we want to put God in a box and we want to restrict Him to the ways that He worked in the past, and thus we may not be open to the new ways that He's working in the present or even the future. God says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. Yes, I had the sea over here, but now He brings water into the picture again. And this time He says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. I'm going to make rivers in the desert. I am doing a new thing. You know I like sports. It's not a mystery to you by this point in time. I particularly like to see great coaches. Great coaches who have coached for a long period of time. You know, we had Bobby Krzyzewski, and we got to see Michigan State's coach last night. And these coaches that have done it for a long time. You know, they've learned to change. In basketball, I think back to Dean Smith, and we had the four corners offense. And oh, wow, that was like watching paint dry, right? But Dean Smith did that because that fit his team at that time, and he was successful with that, and others tried to mimic that. But when Dean Smith had a new crop of players, all of a sudden he's running up and down the floor, and he adapted. Coaches like Newt Rockne and Bear Bryant were great in their day, and they would be great today because they knew what it was to adapt to the thing that they had at that time. God would do a new thing for Israel. He was not done. He remembered his covenant love for them, and he would deliver them yet again. And he did a new thing when the Messiah was born and took on flesh. Surprise! Who would have thought that God would visit this earth through a baby that would be born to Joseph and Mary? He did a new thing on the day of Pentecost. Surprise! As he poured out his Holy Spirit, and there was a mighty outworking of his grace. God did a new thing as he brought together in the church of Jesus Christ Jews and Gentiles. We have to worship with them? Surprise. Surprise. He did a new thing when he brought black and white to sit at table together. We have to worship with them? Surprise. Here's what I want you to understand. God's not finished. As long as you and I have breath on this earth, God has a thing and a new thing that he wants to do in us and through us as we live out his eternal perfections in the culture of 2019. And so in the third place, the prophet calls us to trust the God of the process. The prophet would say to us, yes, you may not know where you're going, but you know the one who holds your hand. Trust God in the process. Trust that God is a holy God. Trust that God loves you with a covenant love. Trust that God is going to honor his word. Trust God that his deliverance and restoration would be better than they could possibly imagine. Trust God that a life of purpose and meaning is possible only as we live out the grace of our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Life for you may be as it was for the people of Israel. Whether it be sudden deaths or broken relationships or bad decisions or the cruelties of health, all those things lie beyond our ability. And sometimes that's all that we see. We begin to be overwhelmed. That's where the people of Israel were. The people that were overwhelmed, God brought a word of hope. Can we still believe in a good God when awful things happen to us? Can we still trust that God will be faithful to us even when God seems absent or distant? When you and I lose hope, we're in a dangerous place. That gives rise to the rising rate of suicide among our veterans. 22 a day. We forget and we lose hope. The prophet's word of old is reminding us that God is the God of the future, that God is continuing to do a new thing, that God is the one who brings hope out of desperation, that God is the one who brings day out of night, that God is the one who brings joy out of mourning. God makes a way when there is no way. God is still doing a new thing. I've been at this thing in the church as a minister of Word and Sacrament now. This is my 40th year. Hard to believe, isn't it? I look so young. I'm only 20. I get questions, well, especially from seminarians, well, after 40 years, how do you find something new to say? I said, because God is still doing a new thing. And the moment we lose sight of that, we lose our hope and we lose our purpose and we forget that you and I are put here for a reason. And the prophet says, we are here that we might show forth the glories of our God and King. We're new creations in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite stories is about a man who is greeted by Peter at the pearly gates. There are always pearly gates, right? And it's always Peter that greets us there. And so the man is asked, well, what's the, Peter says to him, what's the password? That was his response. Uh-oh, I didn't see that in my study manual password. And he scratches his head and he says, John 3:16. Peter says, well, nice try, but wrong. Oh. Man begins to rub his head. He says, how about John 11:25 and 26? I'm the resurrection and the life. Surely that's got to be it. And Peter says, It's not John 3:16. It's not John. It's got to be John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Peter says, no, you're still wrong. And finally the man says, I give up. And Peter says, you got it right. You see, when we come before God and it's all based on what we're doing, there is no hope for us. But God is still doing a new thing. And it is as we bow before Him in faith and repentance, trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. And He is our life. I give up. May we give up. We might see the new thing that God is doing in us and through us to the glory of His name. Amen and amen. I invite you to stand. And together we affirm our faith, and today we'll use the words of the Apostles' Creed. So, Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.